are you gay? I was like, what? And she's just like, well, you know, it says you're really close. You know, you and Joe are really good friends. And, you know, and it says James and Joe on your car.
Did you tie empty cans to the back, the bumper with string?
It had just not even occurred to me, you know, like, cause we're just, you know what I mean? I was like, what? Oh, no.
Welcome to Nerd Burger, episode 36.
Woohoo! Episode 36. How you doing, Mike?
Good. How are you?
Good. Lazy.
Yeah. I just realized I don't have my notes.
That's good. Well, guess we're screwed. Whatever.
I'll take them on the computer.
Okay.
Since I have a whole nother keyboard and monitor over here.
We've upgraded the studio.
Yes, there's additional equipment.
And soon to be an Ethernet cable.
Yep. Working on that.
Slowly
this
but
week.
Surely. Wow. Look at us. We're improving. The amount of money we spend. We're not really improving.
Really didn't spend any more money. This is all stuff that was somewhere else in the house.
Yeah. We've got a guest here, and I'm trying to get the stupid song up. And it's being a pain. And here we go. Hello, James. Welcome back.
Well, hello there.
And we're talking to you.
Yeah.
And we can hear you.
And you can hear us.
Indeed.
So this time it worked. Jeez. Stinking crappy mixer, stupid mic, or whatever the problem over there has been.
Who knows?
So anyway.
It's probably Skype.
So anyway, James, thanks for coming back again.
Oh, yeah.
For making yourself available and being right on top of things.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
ooh,
yeah.
Ouch.
As was discussed in the pre-recording meeting. Yeah, well.
I have a wife and kids.
Understood.
Of life.
Oh, wait. Is that a dig on me? Because I didn't do anything today.
No, I just said I have a life. I meant that, like, I have busy, you know, things going on. You know, that wasn't any kind of, like, attack or anything on you specifically.
Okay.
And the two of us together.
I'm sorry. I'm getting texts here from the wife.
Oh, that's good. Let's read them.
What is my Apple ID?
So,
you know,
Mike,
wife,
what is it?
My wife has no idea what her password is at any given time. She'll be like, oh, you have that app? I'm like, yeah, it's really useful. She's like, oh, I want to download it.
I'm recording now.
She's going to type that in on her. No, that's not it. She's going to respond with.
Well, this is okay. This is a good object lesson here. And I don't know how you do things there, James, with being married and having Apple devices and things, and because what we do is we have a community Apple ID that we share together, that we make all of our app purchases.
That's so
with,
sweet.
And our music purchases and TV and movie purchases, although we don't buy many TV shows or movies.
Yeah.
So that we can share them.
There's no way I could do that with Ann.
But then we each have our own Apple ID that's like to our regular email, and that's what we use to sign in to our, you know, devices. Mm-hmm. That's like our iCloud ID. I think that's the good way to do it.
Basically, I handle my Apple stuff, and then just Ann doesn't handle hers. That's the way it works. You see what I'm saying? Like, and occasionally I have to go, well, what's your password? And she goes, I don't know. I'm like, well, go do the lost password thing and then get back with me.
Yeah.
And then I'll download whatever thing that she needs, and we'll have a fight, and that's it. But like, so rather than
scar your children.
Yeah, it's all right. They're okay. They can be scarred a little bit. Everybody needs a little bit of scarring.
That's right. You gotta shove some dirt in your mouth.
Yeah, I mean, not a whole lot.
Play in the dirt.
Like, you know.
Expose yourself to some germs and some bugs. And
sure.
So I'm glad you said to some germs.
What?
I heard expose yourself.
Oh.
And then you didn't finish the sentence quite, you know, immediately. And just, ooh.
Okay, so we're talking about kids, and Mike's talking about exposing himself.
Go. Okay.
Oh, I see where you were concerned. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, funny how my mind didn't go there, but yours did.
I just assume the worst with you.
Well, yeah, okay, I can see that.
Because you're a terrible person.
That's right. I'm a dick.
Did you use air quotes?
No, he means it.
Do you mean dick fingers?
Right. I did not have to use dick fingers to refer to myself as a dick because I am a dick. And I can say that without bleeping it because it's an insult and not a part of the anatomy.
Or whatever.
But isn't that...
Nobody's paying attention to whether or not we're using an no, F-bomb on this podcast.
Yeah, but isn't that...
I just like to stay consistent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if you're saying like it's an insult because you're being called that part of the body.
Not really. It's kind of...
No,
dude, it's not like Dick you're calling a you different... a Fred. It's not like, oh, he's a Fred. You know, no, it's,
no, it's
Dick.
Like it's
for
like,
it's, you know,
no, it's Dick as in like jerk. Cock. It's like another way to say you're a.
No, it's
yeah, it is.
Well, yeah,
well, that's
but
the
it's,
usage.
It's
you're allowed correct, to you're allowed but, to say that on broadcast radio. So the you know we're allowed to say it here without bleeping. That's kind of
I still think
those are the
that,
rules
that,
that we're living
is,
by.
Nah, when you call somebody a dick, you mean like they're a schlong, they're a penis.
I've never
they're a jerk.
Heard anyone in my life say that calling someone a dick means actually calling them a penis.
That's
it,
what
dick
I always
means
assumed
jerk.
It was.
No, sorry, you're wrong.
This is going to be fun to try to figure out what which of these I have to bleep and which of them I don't.
Whatever.
Fuck it. Explicit episode.
If you haven't watched the Dracula TV series, you should be watching it.
Dracula. It's just called Dracula.
It's just called Dracula.
Okay.
I don't watch TV series.
I watch
the
princess
news
movies
and
with Penelope.
And Phineas and Ferb.
I do like Phineas and Ferb, but I don't even get to watch that very often.
No. What are they watching now?
Well, right now they're off to a birthday party.
No, you
but,
know what I mean by now.
Oh, well, Penelope likes all those like teeny bopper Nickelodeon Disney shows with like
Jonas Brothers.
Well, like the ones that
how
have
how about you
like,
pick something contemporary, Mike?
little
that's
girls.
That's what my niece
like,
used to watch when she was not in high school.
I don't know. Like teeny that's, bopper shows.
You don't have to answer. We're not really that interested.
So anyway, Dracula.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fun.
Okay.
I mean, it's they've kind of twisted a few things around. They're turning a novel into a series.
Whoa. You okay there?
Yes, I'm sorry. It's
anyway.
I have the sniffles.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. Apologize.
That's okay.
But they've
so anyway, Dracula.
They've twisted a few things into it where the Dracula character is actually an American. Well, he's posing as an American. An American industrialist who arrives in London and introduces basically it's so modern day, but 1896 at the same time, where he's introducing a supposed technology that will provide free, reliable power for everyone based on like harnessing the power of the magnetosphere, which is something that people believed in at one time, that you could actually get power out of that. And so he light up light bulbs that aren't actually attached to anything. And so it's got this, we haven't really seen steampunk so much, but it's the Victorian technology bent to it. He's got a car in like 1890 something.
They had cars in the 1890s.
Did they?
Yep.
Because that thing that he's driving around in doesn't look like it would hold
does
a big enough
like
engine.
A...
No, it's tiny. Like the engine compartment on the thing is really small.
It should be underneath the seat, probably.
No, I mean, the thing's like a wagon that he's...
Yeah.
You have to see it.
Okay.
I can't describe. But the point is, it doesn't look like what I think of as those old-timey cars looking like. There's no way there's an engine.
No, the really, really, really long time ago, old-timey 1890s cars. Like, the seat, the engine was underneath the seat.
I understand
that. It was
that.
Like one or two cylinders. I mean, there was hardly anything to
okay,
it.
Whatever.
Yeah, and like the steering wheel was like a crank.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, yeah. It was,
okay,
yeah,
so
exactly.
maybe it's realistic. Maybe, I don't know, it just looks odd. Maybe I'm just not used to it. But anyway, and he's there to wreak havoc on like the rich and powerful industry magnates of London, who are coincidentally all members of something called the Order of the Dragon, and they're all kind of looking to kill off vampires and all this kind of thing. So they're slowly building it up. And all the characters, well, most of the characters from the book are there so far, but they all have a little different twist.
Does anybody work out?
Oh, they're all incredibly good looking.
Are they sparkly?
But do they work out? Are they like, you know, are they...
Do they even lift, bro? Do we see them lift
weights?
That's
what I'm saying. Are they in shape? I mean, if they're like going to go kicking ass on vampires, like, you know, I would think they'd be buff or, well, you know, working out or doing like doing some kind of martial arts or, you know, there'd be some training. Like, well, where's the training involved?
Lady Jane Weatherby is hot as hell, if that means anything. She's the vampire hunting chick on the show. Right, wearing really inappropriately Victorian era garb, like really tight, leathery kind of stuff. Not at all right. Victorian. You know, like, oh, Victorian okay. should be covered neck to shoes, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little too sexy for the Victorian era, but what you going
to
do?
What kind of training do you need to kill vampires? Like, you're the Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Wasn't there, like, some kind of training or, like, martial arts?
They showed her training in the show, yeah.
Yeah, you had to, like, hit a punch bag.
But
and, like,
when they showed her training...
wooden stake.
Right, when they showed her training, it was an exposition scene. You weren't worried about whether or not she was getting the appropriate training. She was having a discussion with Giles at the time. That's typically what that was. I mean, it was all character stuff and exposition for the story. It wasn't training. They didn't just show the person just sitting there training, not saying anything. That's boring. You only have so many minutes in a television episode.
It might be boring for you, but I might be interested in, like, the vampire killing workout.
Okay. Well,
you know, like, hey, you want to be in shape for vampire killing. You got to do like 5 sets of 5 on squats. You know, you got to have strong, you got to, you know, get your glutes, you know, involved.
100 stake thrusts with each hand. Go.
Yeah. Or, you know, well, at least like kettlebell thrusts or some kind of like kettlebell type activities for, like, you know, this is I don't know. I'm just saying.
Okay. Well,
because it's boring to you.
I'll write NBC and suggest it.
You do that.
See if that catches on.
You have the time to do those sort of things. I don't.
Well, there we go. It's ripping on me again.
I'm just mad because I can't remember anything.
That's okay. Anyway, the show's fun. I've been enjoying it so far. And Almost Human is rocking. 2 episodes in, I'm hooked. I'm there. Science fiction show.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Future cyborg cops.
Yeah. Well, there's artificial people. They call them a bunch of different names, androids okay. and synthetics and so forth. And there's different types for different, you know, there's cop ones. And then we learn in the second episode, there's sex bots.
Nice.
Of course they didn't. They waited all of one episode before they introduced the sex bots. Well done, writers. But, it's really a pretty show and it's well written. Good stuff. The production value is spectacular. For a TV series, you always, you know, you get a little worried with science fiction stuff, especially heavy science fiction like this, where there's, you know, weird cars and things flying around and cityscapes and good stuff. So that's my little reviews. You should watch those, or at least give them a shot. Nerdburger audience, and James and Mike. You got news there, Mike?
Sure.
Isn't there supposed to be some kind of news music? Oh, there it is.
And there's your news music.
Yeah. How about the news now?
Okay, so a little bit of a callback here. Remember the guy that wore his Google Glass, Google Glass glasses into the strip club?
Mm-hmm.
And the
vaguely.
Yeah. Okay, so that guy has printed some 3D sunshades so that you can't see the little light that's on the Google Glass when the camera is functioning, so that you can hide when you're using the camera out in public.
I'm just never going to go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, no one wants to video you. Like, why would, like, what are you going to be doing? This, like,
that's, the, I'm the people... out of here. I am
gone. Come on, man.
Three what times in 15 minutes.
Oh, you're so sensitive.
I am.
I remember I got back from Afghanistan. You were like, why are you so mean? Or maybe it was Mike. One of you guys was like, you're really mean. I'm like,
I don't know.
That was me.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm just a big baby today, I guess.
I love you, man. I'm sorry.
Oh, now you're going to make me cry.
Aww. Oh, Jesus, man. Man up. Come on. All right. So what's the news? What are we talking about?
You can cover up the little light on the Google Glass so you can walk around the Google Glass on and be recording people and things and nobody will know it.
Mm-hmm. So, there's this little trial in the news. Actually, it was last year. There was a trial.
Okay.
So, Apple sued Samsung for infringing their patents, basically, because, you know, Samsung copies Apple stuff.
Right, because Apple's awesome. Go ahead.
Right. And clearly won the lawsuit.
Okay.
Where they were awarded $1.05 billion.
And Samsung went, ooh, here you right. go.
Yeah, here you go. Because we've made $100 billion off of stealing your stuff. And so, sure, we'll give you 1%. No, they had to have a retrial.
Oh, good.
All the way over a year later, they had a retrial for a portion of the damages because the judge determined that the jury miscalculated a portion of the damages. So rather than $450 million, it's $290 million. And Samsung, in the process, basically admitted in court that, yes, we copied Apple stuff. Here's $290 million for a grand total of $890 million instead of $1.05 billion.
So you're happy?
No, I'm just reporting the news.
No, you're happy about that.
I saw something. Didn't they pay Apple in pennies or something?
Oh, that would be awesome. Roll up with
something
semi-trucks full of pennies.
Yeah.
Farthings.
I think they paid in pennies. You know,
pesos.
I swear I saw that somewhere.
Yen or lira.
That'll get you kicked out of the good calzone place. You try to pay with pennies.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, me either.
Seinfeld.
I don't remember that one.
Steinbrenner wanted to love those calzones that George kept bringing into the Yankees office. And so George couldn't go get the calzone that day. So he asked Kramer to go do it. Kramer tried to pay with pennies and got kicked out. So he didn't get the calzone. I think George ended up getting fired. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
So yay, Apple, Samsung, you suck. Next. Switch to ebooks was an unmitigated disaster, says school principal.
Yeah, I think I know about this one. Go ahead.
Did you hear about this in Ireland?
It was unmitigated.
Yeah.
Well, like the no one took any steps then to mitigate problems with the books, ebooks.
Wow. Wow. So you're really a stickler on the words today.
I don't know, man. I'm just
should be precise, says James.
I don't know. I'm just listening.
Okay.
I'm just commenting. This is what I, you know.
So what happened?
Mountrath Community College. Somewhere in Ireland, Principal Gleason said, HP ElitePad has proved to be an unmitigated disaster. We have met with HP representatives on a number of occasions to address the issues. To ensure stability and continuity of education, I have ordered a full set of books for all of the students. Principal Gleason said it was an informed decision to choose the HP Elite tablet. A year and a half's worth of research was put into choosing the right device for us. A year and a half's worth of research was wasted. Now, there was another article that I can't get to load.
iPads.
That's right.
They'd be the happiest Irish people in the world.
Just like either 94 or 96% of all tablets in schools in the United States, which are iPads. I don't know if it's 94 or 96 because I can't get that article to load. So let's just say 95.
Okay. I thought maybe this was the article, maybe this was a few weeks back, where it was some school that they handed out tablets. I don't remember for specifically what kind it was, but they handed out tablets to all their students with all these locks in place, basically to make them so that they can only do what they want them to do on the tablets.
Right.
And the kids broke all the locks and were playing games before the day was done.
Mm-hmm.
And sitting in class playing Angry Birds.
Yeah, surfing porn and buying a... What was that?
Russian brides.
Yeah, buying Russian brides and ordering mob hits with bitcoins. Over whatever that service was that they just shut down.
They didn't shut down Bitcoin, did they?
No, it was the
Mafia Hitman service.
It was the everything illegal service.
Okay.
You could like buy drugs and order people dead and like do all kinds of crap. And we had never even heard of it.
With bitcoins.
I think that you paid with bitcoins, yeah. But the point is that this thing existed, and I had never heard of it before.
Just for a short time,
like that existed.
Could you purchase people?
Possibly, I don't know.
You could buy a gun.
Yeah, it seemed like.
And you could rent a cabin somewhere.
The world was your oyster,
and you could hunt the world's most dangerous prey.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh,
all via this website.
People.
Yeesh.
Would you like some more news? Just off the top of my head.
As long as it's not just slamming something other than Apple.
Okay, never mind.
Okay. So how's our Packer quarterback situation doing?
We have a quarterback?
Yeah. We've had a few of them.
Scott R.R. Tolkien.
It's Tolzien.
Sorry.
Jeez. Yeah.
And so apparently our team only had one good player that knew how to play the game, and he's hurt now. So
no, they all know. There's a whole bunch of people that know how to play the game, but
no, they don't. Not well.
Yeah, whatever.
Lost to the Giants and the Bears and the friggin' Eagles. Come on. Those were all easy wins. I was looking at those games on the schedule prior to collarbone breaking his Rodgers, and and I thought, oh, sweep, all the way through to the holidays. We're golden. Win, 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 win.
Really,
win.
Considering we've had a season that's been incredibly uneven already, when Rodgers was running the show, and one Sunday we'd have a rushing game that went for 180 yards, and the next game it would be a 70 yard rushing game.
Yeah,
you figured
still better
you
than last year when we had a 7-yard.
You figured everything else
game.
Would suddenly fix itself, and Rodgers' loss wouldn't be felt. Now, James, there was a time a few weeks ago when I was worried about trying to schedule people in January, because right now we don't know what the playoff schedule is going to be. You never know when your team's going to play.
Yeah,
now they shuffle it all around.
Now we have a pretty
now
good
we
idea
have a pretty good idea
be.
That we're going to have plenty of time open on Saturdays and Sundays in January. Unless something drastic happens, but we'll see.
So that's how the Packers were doing, because you were wondering before.
Right. Well, I was drinking from my Packers glass, and I've been not following the Packers like I should, since I've been dubbed a cheesehead,
So, James.
Yes.
Have you ever been to Colorado?
I have.
Really?
Yeah.
When?
1988.
1988. So was that after high school?
It was.
Why'd you go there?
Well, I was about to go in the Army, and had a friend who lived out there, and drove out there to see him and go skiing before I went off to basic training.
Did you go out there by yourself?
I went out there with my friend Joe and my friend John, who was the guy we were actually going out there to see, but he had flown to Florida, and we all drove out there together.
Okay.
Why? What do you ask?
Nothing. Did you happen to spray paint on anything on your car before you left?
Yes. Yes, I did. Okay, so you've seen the photos.
Actually, no, I haven't.
No? Well, then why are you asking about the spray painted car?
Because I want to hear your side of the story.
Why? Why? Well, I told you that story then, right? That's just about what was on the car.
I know what was on the car.
I want to hear you tell it. So, all right, if that will amuse you and the five people that are listening. when I was going out to Colorado, I'm a little distracted. The cat that I'm sitting next to is snoring.
Is that the new cat or the old? Oh, no, don't have the new cat yet.
Yeah, the old cat is snoring. Like really loudly.
What does that sound like?
I could probably get this. Well, she stopped.
Don't.
No. Okay. So anyway,
you're sidetracking.
So we had this beat up Volkswagen convertible, and we had spray painted stuff all over it, like a like a Oingo Boingo skull and Volkswagen's number one and all kinds of stupid crap all over this car. And we put, James and Joe on the car because that was, who's in the car, me and my buddy Joe. That's. And I drove over to my mom's house before we took the big trip. And my mom was like, are you gay? I was like, what? And she's just like, well, it says you're really close. You and Joe are really good friends, and and it says James and Joe on your car.
Did you tie empty cans to the back, the bumper with string?
It had just not even occurred to me, because we're just, I was like, what? Oh no, 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 no.
Your poor parents. We're confused.
No. No, no. So, I ran out and I think I drove to Kmart, got a can of spray paint and, you know, because I didn't happen to have a bunch of spray paint in the car. So I think I probably.
You know. So you just added a line below it that said, "Are heterosexual."
Yeah, that could have been the way to go. I think I just spray painted over it or something. You know, I don't recall. I just remember I was like, I will deal with this right now. So, but yeah, I don't know. It's not really that good of a story. I mean, you know, so my mom thought I was gay because it said James and Joe on the side of my car. And I was like, oh,
I find that entertaining.
That's not what that means. You know? It's just means that's who's in the, we're just identifying the people in the car. Hey, it's us. Woo. You know, like big trip from Florida to Colorado. You know, we're driving from Florida to Colorado. Woo. You know,
and what time of year was that?
It was winter.
In a convertible?
Yes.
And would the top go up?
Yes. Oh, yeah. The top went up.
Oh, okay.
It was all right. The Volkswagen had pretty good heat once you got going down the road. You know, it was all right when it ran.
I'm against picketing, but I don't know how to show it.
Nice. That's non sequitur.
Boomerangs are just frisbees for lonely people.
You have do you write a bunch of these down?
I got a little list. I just thought I'd share some in between our.
It's like my dad's here, but it's funny.
Yeah. Whoa. Jeez.
Sorry. Just kidding.
I saw a sign that said watch for children, and I thought that sounds like a fair trade. That's Dimitri Martin.
I was going to say, are these like Emo Phillips kind of things?
You know, some of them are Jack Handy, some of them are Dimitri Martin, some of them are Mitch Hedberg.
Yeah, that guy was funny. But mm-hmm. There's a comedy station here, and I listen to that sometimes, and I'm always surprised at how funny Emo Phillips is. Like, because when you first listen to him, he's like, "I'm Emo Phillips." He makes these, you know, you're like, you know, this guy
really. He's got a shtick, his voice,
right? Yeah. He does. He's got this thing that he does, but then like. What he says is really very funny, you know. I don't and maybe it wouldn't be as funny if he didn't have his shtick. I don't know, but it's weird. He's like the Chinese food of comedy.
The Chinese food,
or the bowling of comedy. Well, let me explain. Bowling and Chinese food to me are things that like I don't want to do or eat. Until like I'm doing it or eating the food, and then I'm like, "This is, you know, like bowling.
This is awesome."
Yeah, like if you're like, "Hey, let's go bowling," I'm like, "Yeah, no, I don't really want it." But then if I'm bowling, I'm like, "Man, this is fun. I need to do this more often." You know,
until you're done bowling, and then you're like, "Right, man, I don't want to bowl anymore."
Yeah, but like when I'm eating Chinese food, I'm like, "Man, this is good." You know, but anytime someone, you know, is like, "Hey, let's go get lunch. What do you want to do?" "Oh, let's do Chinese." I'm like, but upon eating the Chinese food, then I'm like, yeah, this is great. So Emo Phillips is like, I don't want to listen to Emo Phillips. And then when you happen to hear him, you're like, this is great. So hence my analogy to Chinese food and bowling. There you
gotcha.
Go. That's the way I see it. And here's something else of that I've always thought, since we're just talking about random crap. Barbecue is always a letdown.
Really?
Okay. Those are bold words.
Yes, and here's why. It always smells just a little bit better than it tastes.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like when you're even like it could be like the best barbecue place that ever, and you like drive up to it, you're like, "Oh my god, that smells so good." Mm-hmm. And then when you eat it, you're like, "Well, it's good, but even if it's really good, you're still like, man, it's just not quite what I was expecting."
I completely agree, and I've just been in that situation where when my parents were here visiting, we went to the Jonquil Festival. You know where that is?
I have no idea. Is there a lot of weed?
No.
Is it one of those kind of festivals, like 420?
No. In Smyrna.
Is there a 5K or something? Did you run it?
I don't know, and of course not.
Okay. Go on.
No, it's just like there's booths set up with, you know, people selling trinkets and artwork, and there's a bunch of food, and they had Williamson Brothers Barbecue was there, and it smelled amazing, and you could smell it no matter where you were on the grounds. It was everywhere, but I didn't want any. Like, I knew, I'm like, nah. When it came time to eat, I what did I get? I got like a Italian sausage or something from another stand. They're like, I know it's not going to taste as good as what I've been smelling this whole time. So I completely agree with you on that.
Yeah.
Because your expectations are too high.
Yeah.
The smell makes you go, oh my
God.
It doesn't
just smell a little bit better than it tastes. It smells a whole lot better than it tastes.
Well, I think it depends on the barbecue. Well, but yeah. A lot of barbecue is really mediocre. So then when you drive up to the place, you smell it. You smell it and you're like, oh, this is going to be so good. And then
Williamson Brothers actually is pretty, really good for barbecue.
But
it still smells better than it tastes.
Yeah, yeah. It smells so good. It's
as far as barbecue goes, if you're going to have some, by all means, go get yourself some Williamson Brothers. Man, that's some good shit.
And maybe they could sponsor this podcast.
Williamson Brothers, if you'd like to sponsor the podcast.
Or at least give us some free barbecue.
Maybe we'll, you know, start to think that it tastes as good as it smells.
Well, free food, free good food tastes even better.
Free good food tastes awesome.
When I first saw a universal remote, I thought, wow, this changes everything.
I don't have my sound effects.
I do. I just didn't bother hitting them. Oh, what else? You got something else there, Mike?
Sure. James.
Yes.
Did you want to talk about music?
Sure.
Dorky music?
I don't know. There's a couple things. Like,
First of all.
Yeah.
I have a question. I don't know the answer to this, so I want to hear your answer. Were you ever in a band?
I was in a couple of really, like, short-lived bands, yes.
So a couple of times you were in a band that didn't last very, very long.
Yes.
Okay. And you want to tell us about that?
That's it.
It's not interesting?
Not really. I mean, I was in a band the first time I was in college where I, you know, flunked out because I was playing Mario Brothers till the sun came up. not because I was being cool, like, you know, scoring with hot chicks and going to frat parties. I was like, you know, playing Mario Brothers.
You and who?
Larry.
Yeah.
Yeah. And
have you figured out what's going on yet?
No. What are you
Well, Larry's gonna be on the show next week.
Yeah. So what are you gonna compare stories? Because I mean they're not.
I guess that was the thought, and now it suddenly occurs to me that we've messed with your head twice. There was the story time with your family's history.
I was in a band with Larry in college for a little while. We were called the Cleavers. We had a guy.
Where did the name come from?
I don't know. It was because it was like it could be Meat Cleaver or it could be like Beaver Cleaver. I don't remember. I had this really crappy bass. I think it only had three strings on it.
and they were the three high strings. Not even the low one.
But we had this guitar player, his name was Cap, and he wanted to call it Larry Long Dong and the All Smalls Ensemble. And Larry was like, we're not calling it that.
Wait, Larry didn't want you to call it that.
Yeah, Larry didn't want it to be called Larry Long Dong and the All Smalls Ensemble. Now,
I would think the All Smalls would be the ones to protest.
we don't, you know, who cares, you know? But for some reason, Larry was like, no.
Truth in advertising.
So there was that. I was also in another band. I can't remember what the hell we called ourselves.
Must have been quite the experience.
Yeah, no, it was a buddy of mine. I can't think of it.
Can you describe the song Silver Surfer?
it was a stupid little song, very slap bassy kind of very repetitive. I don't know. This can't be interesting.
What were the lyrics to Silver Surfer?
Well, it's making Silver Mike laugh.
Silver Surfer. That was it, I think.
Silver Surfer and rules.
Yeah, I guess.
So how did it go? Like Silver Surfer, Silver Surfer, Silver Surfer rules, like that.
Something like that. Okay. Why does Larry have a recording of that?
No, not that I know.
Oh.
That would be awesome if he did that.
Trust me, there are out there. There are recordings of me playing songs with Larry, with various other people. Actually, I was just thinking about an original song I did with my friend Keith. That one of the lyrics was God, the song was called Nasty Habits, not a cover of the Oingo Boingo song Nasty Habits, but it was it had some cool lyrics that didn't rhyme, you know, very just like non-rhyming lyrics, if that makes any sense.
Free verse.
Yeah, it was like, maybe I'll go see what's on TV. Who knows, I might start a trend, but first I'll see what's on TV and eat some pork rinds. And then that was, I don't know.
Sounds like my day so far.
Yeah, yeah. Did I mention that my son screamed rock lobster the other day, kind of randomly?
Yeah, I saw that on Facebook.
Yeah, my kids are into good music most of the time.
Unless it's stuff that that Anne's made them listen to.
Yeah, they don't really pay attention to that though. I don't know. I think
no Fleetwood Mac for them.
I don't think they're really into that. Like they'll always tell me to put White and Nerdy on. Jack loves White and Nerdy. Penelope is
because he
like
is.
every time we get in the truck, Penelope wants me to play Mr. Roboto by Styx. It came on the radio once.
Our guest, Dave and
I was going to say, do they listen to the podcast? Because those are two guest theme songs.
We've used
White and Nerdy for a couple of the game guys from Seattle.
Yeah, my children do not listen to this podcast.
The professional nerds.
my 7-year-old and my 4-year-old do not listen to this podcast.
No? Okay. Well, we've got a couple that have been very clean. Last week's was very clean.
The weeks before that was very clean, too.
As long as you cut out the middle part where we're talking about tentacle porn. The episode otherwise is clean.
Yeah,
except for that part. There are no swears.
Okay.
Penetrating with protuberances.
Okay. I want to go skydiving before I die, but not right before I die. That's fun. Anyway,
I want to go quietly in my sleep, not like the other three people in my Uncle So-and-so's car who were screaming, "Wake up, wake up!"
Yeah. Okay, more music. Nerdy music, music, music. Go.
Well, we were just talking about music that's nerdy.
Mm-hmm.
I think obviously Weird Al is pretty nerdy. I like nerdy music. I guess when I was thinking about talking about it, I was just thinking about how much I like music that is humorous or, you know,
clever.
I like Dirty Deeds Done with Sheep, you know, that like I like that better than the AC/DC. I like Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap. I like that song, but Dirty Deeds Done with Sheep is so much better because it's got a good, you know, groove. It's a good rock song, but then they've added another, it's like
bestiality. You know,
it's like, sure. It's the humor is like,
it's got that level of bestiality that I look for in my music.
Well, you know, I listen to Frank Zappa. I mean, I don't know. And like, so that's nerdy. But then even stuff like Iron Maiden, you know, because they have a 14-minute song called Rime of the Ancient Mariner, you know, and it's like, who else has ever written a song about the Charge of the Light Brigade, you know, the Crimean War? Like, that's just not typical.
That's,
you know,
true.
Like,
that's very,
it's
true.
Nerdy. I mean, like, history is, I think, you know, songs that reference things that happened a couple hundred years ago.
In that sense, you know, Frank Black's pretty nerdy.
Frank Black is nerdy. I would say that's nerd music. And then Rush. Rush is very nerdy, don't you think? I mean, like, just listen to 2112. I mean, that's extremely nerdy. Like, pretty much most people who like Rush are nerds. You know, even the musicians are, like, nerdy musicians. I mean, everybody likes Rush, but I'd say Rush is nerdy. Iron Maiden and Rush, even though they're like, you know, metal and hard rock and, you know, progressive rock or whatever you want to call it, that's nerd music.
And yeah, to an extent at least. I mean, there's a lot of bands that drop into some of that kind of stuff. I mean, Led Zeppelin, I would not call a nerdy band. But Ramble On,
nerdy stuff.
But Ramble On goes all over Tolkien.
Yeah.
The song Ramble On, where they're talking about Gollum stealing his girl away and it was in the darkest depths of Mordor.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, so that's kind of nerdy.
You know, and right, and it's a cult. I mean, they're British and it's a cultural thing. Tolkien kind of, you know.
The
people know about him.
The ultimate
nerd. And it's
nerdy.
Probably something that they read when they were kids and they, like, yeah, well, yeah, we're this bluesy rock band, but we're going to go ahead and talk about Gollum stealing my precious from me, basically.
Well, since you've brought up Led Zeppelin, I think we should discuss Dred Zeppelin.
Okay, there you go.
Dred Zeppelin.
I'm familiar with them.
Is quite possibly the greatest creation of anything ever created in the history of created things.
Mini Kiss is right up there.
You know, I like where they're going with that, but you, I mean,
I think it's called Mini Kiss.
Has anybody come up with anything better than a Led Zeppelin cover band that does reggae versions of Led Zeppelin songs
with the lead singer,
with a fat Elvis impersonator?
That's a pretty eclectic little bunch, combination of elements there. Yeah. I'll
just the fact that they dared to do that in the first place, like that's all you really need, just to dare to do something like that. You win. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, just the fact they're like, let's do this. And then they got on a stage and did it. You were prepared.
What are you doing there?
And I like the way you shake that thing. I watch Honey Drip. I can't keep away.
This is Black Dog by Dred Zeppelin.
And then it ends up in You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog. It shifts into an Elvis song at the end.
Does it? Well, it's like a 6-minute song, so I guess, yeah, maybe it shifts into something else.
The best, my favorite, and I've posted it on Facebook a number of times, is the live version of the Immigrant Song. If you're on the internet there, if you wanted to bring up that one, is quite possibly the coolest thing on the internet.
Well, we're not gonna play music constantly here, but yeah, there they are. So yeah, go check them out, Dred Zeppelin.
If you don't like Dred Zeppelin, you're wrong. So
quoth James.
So when Mike and I went to the Weird Al concert, remember that, Mike?
Oh yeah, at the Tabernacle.
So, yeah, we go to the Weird Al concert and we walk in there and I'm thinking, I'm like looking around, I'm like, dude, there are a lot of nerds here. I've never seen so many freaking nerds.
And we were laughing at all of the nerds. And then we realized, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I mean, we weren't wearing members only jackets, but we were, you know, like out of the crowd, like 90% were either wearing members only jackets or Hawaiian shirts or both.
No, well, there was one guy in particular that was standing right in front of us, that him and his two friends. And it was this, this guy wearing, it was like a gray members only jacket. And he looked like a midget version of, I mean, he wasn't actually a midget, but he looked like a tiny little version of Paul Reiser.
Who isn't Paul Reiser kind of tiny anyway?
I don't think he's that tiny. I think Helen Hunt is tall. So,
so
next
hey,
to her, he looks, well, tiny,
speaking, just a quick sidetrack, you know, on the, like looking around at all the nerds and then suddenly realizing,
yeah.
A couple of the little things that popped in my head about, noticing people or identifying people as being certain things, that, you know, they say, this is some comedian said that once, there's always one weirdo on every bus. So if you can't find the weirdo,
you're the weirdo.
Right. And also if you're going around during the day and you run into an asshole, well, you ran into an asshole, but if you run into nothing but assholes, you're the asshole.
Well, there you go.
And there's a bunch of editing for you to do, Mike.
Okay. Yeah,
whatever.
But the members only jacket thing, right. Do you know that they're selling those again?
Oh, jeez.
They haven't gone away.
A bunch of the members have died off. I suppose they got to boost the membership again. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, but I mean, like, they're not updated. They're not like like new members only jackets.
No, it's
with
the
like,
same thing. You
know, no, they're like precisely the same thing in the same crappy colors. Like that weird gray and that light blue and the tan and like
the pinky red.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. They're like, I was shocked. I was looking for, like, I was looking at like flannel shirts or whatever at the store and, you know, looking at different things and like, you know, maybe I'll get this, North Face like fleece. And I turn the corner here, like on the display, and I'm like, oh God, you know, those are members only jackets. They're brand new.
Like, did I just travel back in time?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought I was going to see Marty McFly or something. So, yeah, well, anyway, I guess that's really all I had to say about nerdy music, I suppose, is just that there's, like, I like Frank Zappa.
Would you say nerdy music has defined you to an extent? I mean, has nerdy music brought something, other than just enjoying listening to it, have you heard something in a song and then said, hey, I got to check that out, or I got to learn, you know, learn what they're talking about here, or read that book, or?
Not really. I don't know.
Or were you already up to speed on some of that stuff and you just...
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
you dug on the music because you found, hey, somebody's singing about Charge of the Light Brigade.
Right. And, you know, and I don't have to read some poetry because Iron Maiden decided to condense that into a 14-minute song. So,
sure. Musical cliff notes.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I'd say Iron Maiden is definitely the musical cliff notes of history, you know. If you're like random things, let's see what kind of historical things has Iron Maiden hit on. Let's see the Battle of Britain, the British Spitfire aces defending. I would not know pretty much by heart a good chunk of Winston Churchill's speech. You know, where he says. It's on Iron Maiden Live After Death before they play Aces High at the very beginning of the album. He says, "You hear Winston Churchill. You hear the rumble of airplane engines, and then you hear this: We shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We fight. You know, this whole thing.
Right.
I wouldn't have known about that. Or maybe I would have eventually, but it's just like, there's like little things that like I know now only because they were in an Iron Maiden song.
Right. And you listen to that album over and over and you heard that over rather than having one history lesson that taught you that and that you remembered for the test and then you didn't remember anymore.
Yeah. You know, and like, I know that there's an airplane called an a Messerschmitt 109. I mean, there are some things like that. I remember, you know, hearing it and then looking it up, and this was like, before the internet, you know, back in the
you had mid-80s. To go to the World Book Encyclopedia.
Yeah, I don't know where I must have looked that up. Nowadays, I would, you know, if I was listening to an Iron Maiden song, if I was, you know, a kid, I would go, oh, what's an ME-109? Okay, ME-109, Wikipedia, German Messerschmitt, you know, aircraft of, you know, World War II. You would just be able to find that stuff instantly. Or, you know, you could just hyperlink, you know. You know, you could make an Iron Maiden website that has all their song lyrics with hyperlinks to all the stuff they talk about. That would be a good effort.
We've talked about this in the past. Back in the day,
I wouldn't be surprised if that didn't already exist right now.
Yeah.
Like Iron Maidenopedia or something.
Iron Maiden's got a wiki, almost certainly.
Yeah.
But we talked about that once before, and it's been popping up in my head more and more often. Is that back in the day, pre-internet, being really into something, being a fan of something was hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you had to go look stuff up.
You had to look. You had to find other people who were. You had to search. Long and hard, endlessly to find the community and like find the things that you liked.
Our conversation with Julie and Nancy.
That's where
about
that came
from. Costuming.
Yeah.
About having to see, you know, bribe the projectionist so you could watch the movie before everybody else saw it so that you could make sure that you got your costume right.
Right. So you could run home that night
and fix it.
And fix the costume that you had.
That you couldn't, you know, you,
that you had created,
you had only ever seen from the front
in
the,
Starlog
in the,
magazine,
the promotional materials.
Starlog magazine. I remember Starlog magazine.
Yeah, that's how they did all their costuming back in the day. Before you had snippets on the internet of like, hey, look at so and so's costume. No, you had to subscribe to Starlog or Fangoria or whatever.
Fangoria. Yeah.
Today's National Eat a Cranberry Day.
Is it?
Yes.
Are those in? Yeah, I guess they are in season. It's almost Thanksgiving.
What's the United States?
Also, what state coincidentally, it's also urinary tract infection day.
No, but what state in the United States is, you know, what state is the leading producer of cranberries?
Maine?
No.
Wisconsin?
Yep. Massachusetts. Oh,
Wisconsin.
Really?
Yep. Over 50% of the cranberries in the United States are produced in Wisconsin.
In the dairy
how about
state.
That?
Yes, in the
America's
dairy state
dairy land.
That doesn't really have as many dairy cows as one might think.
Well, it has less than fewer than California does. Yeah.
So there you go. That's fun.
But look at the size of California.
Fair enough. All those hippies out there farming, apparently.
Are we recording?
I hope so. James.
Yes.
And you said maybe your daughter is not watching stuff so much now, but I'm guessing that you've watched a fair bit of Disney stuff lately.
Over yes,
the past
I have.
Few years.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Do we want to talk a little bit about how the tales that inspired the Disney princess movies actually end.
Sure.
Because Disney Disneyfies them.
Right.
And makes them like all Pocahontas. Wonderful and pretty. Okay, let's start there.
Well, okay, you know, when we lived in Atlanta, it never really occurred to me to, like, you know, critique Pocahontas. But since we've moved to, you know, we right near where we live is First Landing State Park. It's where the Jamestown peeps, you know, first landed. Mm-hmm. It's like right here. We live in the land of Pocahontas. You know what I mean? And in the very beginning of that movie, you know, they like when she's like singing and, you know, the noble savage and we're all living in peace and harmony and twirling around and, you know, with raccoons and little birds fluttering around because we're Native Americans and you know, whatever.
Right.
There's like mountains and crap.
In the background. Well, of course.
Yeah. There's just, no
just like
here,
it, just like if they actually filmed it in Southern California where they film everything and there's always mountains in the background no matter where it's supposed to be.
Like MASH.
Yep. Well, no, that's that actually no. I mean, Korea actually does kind of look like that.
Have you ever been to Korea?
No, but I've seen pictures.
Okay. Well, anyway, like MASH. It's still like MASH.
Remember when we had to do that stupid embassy?
Oh, we went to the then we because we were doing a Korean embassy, we went to the Korean restaurant. It was called Il Me. Like, how could
Il Me Korean restaurant, if you'd like to sponsor the podcast? No, it was actually very good. I really enjoyed whatever it was that I ate.
I had goat. I had some kind of goat.
Did you like your goat?
Yeah, it was all right. But I just think it's funny that you would have a restaurant and call it Il Me.
Yeah. You'd think somebody that spoke English would say, you know, maybe not that. I know that means something good in our language, but not in the language here.
In Hangul, isn't that Korean? Like the actual Korean word for Korean language?
Know.
I think it's called Hangul, I think. I don't know. Somebody could, you know. Hey, let me ask you guys this. Has anybody like written into the podcast? Like maybe we need to have some kind of like listener thing like where people can ask questions.
People don't even like us on Facebook. There's like 5 people that have been known to use to hit the like button on Facebook for us. We've had like 2 people email us. Yeah.
Well, so how do you guys branch out, man? I mean, is there like
we're
a
not going
Apple...
to?
No,
apparently what's not.
What's the point, man?
Oh, what is the point?
We got to get some listeners.
As
man.
Mike said it earlier, he's just trying to amuse himself every weekend for an hour and a half.
Yeah, but I think that maybe this podcast, this particular podcast, is not the best, most amusing podcast. But
this particular think, episode, you're saying?
Yes. This particular episode of the podcast may be lacking in hilarity and depth, but.
Let's teach some people about history then.
Nowhere to go but up.
How did Pocahontas movie end? I've never seen Disney's Pocahontas.
I don't know. Freaking happily ever after. I don't know. Right. She marries
shouldn't
John
one of us
Smith
have seen
whatever.
This movie?
No.
I've seen it. I just don't remember the ending.
You know how
they always end well.
You know where things really end up for Pocahontas?
Dead. Yeah, doesn't she get
hauled off to England, gets paraded around as, hey, look at this, a noble savage, isn't she wonderful? They stick her back on a boat to take her back to the New World. She gets horribly ill and dies at 22.
Ta-da!
Probably from some disease that she got from the Europeans that she had no immunities to.
Yep.
Probably syphilis.
Actually, the Indians had syphilis. They gave us, they gave European syphilis.
Brown chicken, brown cow.
And then it mutated and did all sorts of other weird things, and then we gave it back to the Indians.
with fire water.
In blankets.
Okay, speaking of nerdy, did I ever talk about Apocalypto? That's kind of a far that from the Disney.
It's a little before that. That's the.
Well, you know, like I went from Pocahontas to Apocalypto. I mean, like, there's that whole
Isn't it Incan or Mayan or something? It's way prehistory.
It's very violent. Well, no, it's not way prehistory at all.
Is it
the Mel Gibson movie?
Yeah.
Is it the one that's entirely in their native tongue?
Yeah.
Like it's all subtitled? Okay.
It's really violent. I mean, it's like. Extraordinarily violent and graphic and just kind of disturbing, like the it's the level of violence.
Parents, take your kids.
Yeah, and so throughout this movie, you know, they're like human sacrifices and pulling people's hearts out, you know, on the altar to you know, for the sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And this guy's trying to get away, and there's slavery and combat, and, you know, they're chasing this guy down, and it's this whole like just ugly thing. And then there's a punchline. The whole movie is just a setup for the punchline at that very end of the movie.
Okay. Spoilers.
Spoiler.
Yeah, whatever.
Spoilers. Go ahead.
But you guys haven't seen Apocalypto?
No. Yeah, and I'm never going to watch it. No, I'm not interested.
You're like a movie guy, and I'm sitting here talking about this movie, and you're not interested in watching a movie that I would tell you it's well, I'll just spoil it anyway. So
please do.
In the very, like, after this movie where it's just nothing but these, you know, native, what are they, Mesoamericans, I guess, Central sure. American, you know, they're fighting, and the level of violence is just incredible. And the ferocity and the complete lack of care for human life. And then at the end, this guy's like, the guy's name is like Jaguar Paw, I think is his name. And he's running for his life, and he's just nearly escaping from these guys that are hunting him down. And he runs out of the jungle onto this beach. Like, he's like, boom, he's on the beach. Mm-hmm. And you look out over the beach into the water, and there's a Spanish ship. And that's the end. So to me, like, when I saw it all the way to the end, there's this, you know, Spanish ship just out in the little bay or whatever, you know, like, he's running for his life, and boom, there's a Spanish, you know, ship. The punchline.
I'm sure that'll, you know, all go well.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no, it doesn't go well for anybody, but the whole point of the movie, like, the punchline is like, you know,
all that time you spent fighting yourselves, yeah, it didn't matter, you're about to get slaughtered.
Well, yeah, but also just that the Spanish, you know, people always think about the conquistadors being like these bad guys who rode in and did bad things. It's like, well, bad things were happening. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of badness. You know, they just brought, hey, this is how we do it in Europe. You know, like, here's the European version
with
horses. Of
this. We just have horses and armor.
Check this out. You guys, know, hey.
Yeah, but see, we kill just as good as you.
Yeah.
We've been doing it for a long time, too.
Yeah. So, but I mean, they never go that far into it. And that's why I think it's like that's the punchline. You know what I mean? It's like, they don't say that, but it's this whole long movie that it's just a demonstration of, like, really just bad stuff.
You think things were bad before? Yeah. Guess what? These guys are coming aboard.
Well, I think what James is saying is that
I understand that
there's this perception that, you know, the native peoples, everybody was all, it was all peace and love and hippy dippy shit. And nobody was ever fighting anybody over anything.
Okay. So I understand
until
that.
the evil white man got here.
I am part of the 1% of the population that knows that was not the case. Yeah. That
right.
Everybody in the world has murdered everybody else in the world over the stupidest stuff.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
How does Sleeping Beauty end? let's jump back to fun.
With a Spanish galleon?
No. How does the Sleeping Beauty movie end? Everybody knows this, even if you haven't seen it.
She wakes up.
How does she wake up?
I don't know.
On the beach.
The dude kisses her.
You look out in the ocean, and there's a ship.
No, jeez. No, in the first version of Sleeping Beauty, known as Sun, Moon, and Talia, she gets raped by a passing king and then gives birth to two kids while still asleep. That's how it ends.
Interesting.
Hmm. Yeah, that's fun.
I didn't know that.
In Cinderella, mm-hmm. you know, the funny scene of the stepsisters trying to mash their feet into Cinderella's glass slipper.
No, but okay.
Well, yeah, I'm familiar with it.
Right, because the glass slipper only fits Cinderella, and her ugly stepsisters are big and fat and stupid, and they can't get their feet to fit. Well, in the story, the stepsisters cut off parts of their feet in order to mash them in.
Wow,
there. Like. They go Saw. The movie Saw.
Where are you reading this?
That's a website.
They take off their pinky toes and
yeah, all that kind of stuff. The Little Mermaid, you know, they prove their love for each other, and she gets her voice back because he falls in love with her, and she gets to stay a human.
I think I actually lived happily ever after.
Was that a story? Was that like a story before the Disney thing?
Oh yeah. Hans Christian Andersen wrote it.
Okay. I'm tracking.
In the original tale, the mermaid's footsteps were agony to her, akin to walking on sharp swords, but she danced for the prince anyway. When he falls for another, instead of killing him to save herself, she dies and dissolves into foam. It's like it's a love lost story.
Hmm.
Things go poorly for her, and then she just decides to like essentially commit suicide or just go away or something.
Was there a goofy seagull voiced by Buddy Hackett in the Hans Christian Andersen version?
Give her a fork. What's it called?
Yeah,
a dingle.
Dingle hopper, I think, is what it was. Yeah, that movie. I saw that movie a lot. That was a big one for Penelope. We watched that all the time, and it wasn't called The Little Mermaid. It was just called Ariel. I want to watch Ariel.
Sure.
I want to watch Ariel. Yeah. You got any more
about Frog King?
I have not seen that one.
Kiss the Frog turns into a prince, happily ever after.
Sure, yeah. Oh, but right. Is there a story where they rolled over the frog with a freaking tractor trailer? I mean, what do you got?
Yes, yeah, so the Grimm brothers wrote about tractor trailers. In the original version, the frog tricks the princess into making a deal with him. He then asks for more and more favors, eventually asking to sleep with the princess in her bed. She gets angry, throws him at a wall, and he turns into a prince. So apparently she like knocked the frog suit off of him or something by throwing him at a wall.
I'll knock the frog out of you.
Knock the prince out of you.
Okay, yeah, I'll knock the prince out of you. I'll slap the prince out of you.
So that's a couple of them. We'll link to it.
Just what people... about, let's see, what else? What about Snow White and the Seven Dwarves? Is there going to be like some horrible story about how the Seven Dwarves did nasty, horrible things?
No.
Well, I mean, that's the route the way things have been going. You talked about like, the king that raped freaking Sleeping Beauty.
I guess I shouldn't have led off with that one.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, and then I come up with the freaking like Seven Dwarves thing, and you're like, oh, hold on, you know?
Sorry.
Easy so, there,
it's
James,
okay when it's just one king.
In the Grimm Brothers version of
now
Snow
you're
White.
Now you're talking about gang rape.
1812, the Grimm Brothers version, the queen was Snow White's mother, actually. She wanted to eat her lungs and liver as proof of... she wanted to have Snow White killed and then be able... She wanted the body parts brought to her lungs and liver to as proof of Snow White's death. In the end, she had to dance in a pair of red-hot iron shoes until she died. That was her punishment for everything she had done. They put iron
the
shoes...
The queen?
The queen.
Had to dance around in red-hot iron shoes.
Or maybe... Maybe Snow White did. It's written poorly.
Who came up with that kind of crap?
The Grimm Brothers. You want to mess your kids up? Start reading the real Grimm Brothers tales to them. They all end horribly.
I don't want to mess up my kids. Thank you.
Well, then don't do that.
Yeah. Red hot iron shoes.
And dance in them till you die. Not just wear them.
Well, like what would make you dance?
Red-hot iron shoes, I imagine.
But you can't get out of them.
They're self-dancing.
I don't know. Got to talk to the Grimm guys.
And they would. I would think they would cool down rather quickly.
Not if they're magical. Poison apple, fairy tale land, magic.
Well, okay, wait, poison. Poison's not magical. Poison's poison.
Mm-hmm.
So what else? What else you got?
Sorry, I wasn't precise enough with my words. The point is, it's in a fairy tale. There's magic.
Wow, that's really bothering you, isn't it?
Well, you've gotten rather particular today, so I'm just having fun with it. I'm having fun with it. That's what I got there. So you can look at some other stuff.
I'm just trying to think of what other like Disney movies. Like, what did the Grimm Brothers say about the Rescuers?
Well, in the Grimm Brothers, the Rescuers,
the mice were eaten.
Mice were eaten by a cat, and the cat was eaten by a dog, and the dog was eaten by a cow, and the cow was eaten by a person, and the person was eaten by a dinosaur.
Awesome.
Maybe. I don't know.
And run over by a tractor trailer.
Yeah.
Well, all right. You know, several times during this podcast, I have attempted to sneak up on the snoring cat so that you could, so that you and the five listeners could hear this incredible, incredible loud snoring. But, as I approach the cat wakes up.
Well, maybe you can record that for us afterward and we'll splice it in.
You're not sneaky enough.
Well, I am wearing big steel toe boots that are rather clunky. So,
well, there's your problem right there.
Yeah. I'm not sneaking around in these shoes. So,
same.
Because that's all I wear now are my steel toe boots from like where I used to wear Doc Martens. I had to get steel toe boots for work, and now I just wear those.
You know, they make steel toed Doc Martens, right?
Yeah, yeah, but I...
You could have the best of both worlds.
I could, but I have these Red Wings, and they're really comfortable. Okay. And, so, and they look, but they look just like my Brown Doc Martens. They just don't have the yellow welting.
Yeah.
But other than that, they're pretty much just a steel-toe version of a Doc Martin. Made in America by a great shoe company.
Well, you know, the Doc Martens aren't made in England anymore.
I know they're made in, like, China. So mm-hmm. Why the hell would I want to buy that?
Yeah.
You know? I agree. Screw China. That's right, I said it.
F you, China.
All 1 billion or 1.2 billion of you. Or whatever. I don't know.
Except your food. Sure. Except your food, and only when we're eating it.
Do you guys ever think, is this just me, but do you guys ever think to yourselves, like, when you say stuff, like, you know, post stuff on the internet or say, you know, you'd say stuff here on the podcast, it's like, you know, if I ran for president, would someone throw that in my face?
No, because I don't plan on running for president.
We're right, but I mean, like, sometimes that occurs to me. Like, if you ever ended up, like, somehow, like, you know, politically, you know, like, someone's you know, is it true that you said screw everyone in China? Like, yeah, you know, like, sure, I did say that. Like, how could you, you know what I mean? If you're running for president, right? And someone's, like, looking at your Facebook posts, and they're like, you know, 15 years ago... You said screw all those ragheads, you know, or whatever, or I hate Afghans, or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, okay, yeah, sure, I said that. You know, like,
can you blame me? I was living with them.
Yeah, they were really annoying. Like, how could you say something like you can't be a real human being? And no, like, once you get into the public eye like that, right. Then everything you've ever said is
no. You
now
hit the nail
like
on
this.
The head though about Facebook. I think that's pretty much where it starts when you get on with the social media, and the first time you ever put anything even remotely critical of anybody or anything, or they're like, you know, you think, I wonder who's going to see this. And then you get over it. Then, you know, here it is, you know, it's 78 years later. Who cares?
Yeah. But I just think it'd be funny. Like, if you could have again, this goes back to like coming up with a website or doing some kind of app that like could search all your Facebook posts over like, you know, the course of your entire Facebook or, you know, social media history, and then have a reporter ask you, like the website could have a reporter ask you a bunch of questions about like all these things that like are politically like would screw you in an election.
Some kind of like LexisNexis database with access to NSA files.
Is it true that you talked about banging a stripper in 1987? You know, you're like, you know, like.
Hey, that was before the internet. How'd you get that?
Yeah. You know. Well, you were drunk texting and the NSA sent us this, you know, like, you know, that's another thing, man. Like, they're listening.
Hi, NSA.
They're probably really, really disappointed.
What's up?
No, they're just talking about nerdy stuff.
This podcast is terrible. Too bad we have to listen to everything.
Every word.
We might as well like it on Facebook.
They even start talking before they press the record button. Whiteboard.
Well, you know,
whiteboards are remarkable.
You know, it's all being...
I'm not
going to
get
whiteboard
in edgewise.
Huh?
What?
Nothing.
Did you not want me to talk on your podcast?
Go for it.
Please
I was
do.
Just saying... I was gonna say like it's amazing though. I mean, like everything is gonna be recorded into like this vault, right? Into this big giant server so that it could all be looked at later
right.
by someone.
And I don't remember who said it or what it was in a movie or a comedian or something said sometime far in the distant future. I think it was a stand-up comics when the aliens arrive to our burnt out husk of our planet after we're all dead and gone. And they're going to find our media devices and our electronic storage, and they're going to rev it all back up, and they're going to look at all of it, and they're going to say, wow, everybody on this planet thought they were important.
Yeah. Well, but you know what? That's interesting because that's America right there. That's the individual.
That's a lot more than just America. I got news for
it,
you.
It is, mm-hmm. But like... That's something that I think we need to remember in our country is that the individual is supposed to be important. You know, like it's about to me, it's about the individual, right? So you are important.
Oh.
Well, nice. I didn't mean you were important to me. I mean, you're important to you. Sorry. I think you misunderstood. You misunderstood me. I'm sorry. No, but like, you know, everybody is important, right? To, you know, or they should be, you know, I mean, or as important as anybody else.
Right.
Absolutely. Unless you're,
you know, yeah. So.
You got to set America. That better. His computer screen over here keeps going into sleep mode and he keeps turning it back on.
It's the computer from downstairs. I'm going to buy one for up here. Okay. I am buying more equipment. I've been authorized.
Excellent.
Now I just got to find a cheap one on eBay.
Hey, since, you know, this podcast has been kind of this rambling thing.
Like it always is with you.
Which right, is why yes. we have you on.
That's kind of your shtick, sure.
Have you guys done any, like, comic book type focus? I obviously, you know, I'm letting you guys know that I don't listen to all the podcasts. So, yeah.
We've covered it on occasion, but not...
We've talked, yeah, a little bit here and there. I mean, mostly we talked about it during the Nerd Burger Challenge episode back, I don't know, several months ago when Mike read some of The Walking Dead comics.
But you guys aren't really comic book guys.
I'm not.
Are you? I was younger. I read some when I was younger, and I read Walking Dead now, and I read a fair bit of some Buffy stuff after the show got done. But they basically rolled the show over into comic book form, and they've had like season 8 and season 9.
James, are you saying you'd like to discuss comics the next time you come on?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I kind of need someone to like bounce things off of, though. If you guys aren't really like comic book people,
well,
I mean,
I know,
be like, I really like this. I like Marvel
I know
comics,
a lot of stuff about a lot of different comics just because I've absorbed it from other friends who have been into comics and just because I'm in that geeky world.
Yeah.
But I'm not necessarily up to speed on particular stuff of like today's titles, you know?
Well, here's some nerdy things that I've been going through lately. Like I have been getting into coin collecting and
numismatics,
but mainly I was more like, I'm going to start hoarding silver because the, you know, our country's going down the tubes and I can't afford gold, but I can like get little bits of silver. That's how it started. I'll admit it. You know, I think we're going to hell in a handbasket and, you know, the Fed keeps printing money and, you know, and that's not really political. That's just truth. Like it's never.
They can't even build a website.
Yeah. I mean, like they can't build
a website,
but they can print.
Go to NerdBurgerShow.com.
Yeah. They can print the hell out of some money, you know, like, oh, the stock market's up. Well, yeah, there's free money.
Yeah.
Not for us.
And if you like your podcast, you can keep your podcast. You don't have to listen to our podcast.
Exactly. It's just going to cost you a lot more. You can keep your podcast for a higher price. But yeah, so anyway, and then I started
What's the deductible on this podcast?
It's high. It's a high deductible. So I got into like, I was getting silver, you know, I was like, I'm gonna start buying silver. And then I started buying like little, you know, junk silver, but then I started getting into other coins and stuff. So like, there's this coin thing. And then I was like, you know, I got all these baseball cards. So from when I was a kid, I'm not much of a sports guy, but when I was a little kid, I used to go get bubblegum cards and, you know, get whatever. And so I started going through those. And so like, I've got this little nerdy stack in the corner of the room or the bedroom where I've got my comic books and my baseball cards. And now I've got like little like Tupperware dishes full of different coins. And I've got like this coin book. And so that's some pretty nerdy stuff.
Did you ever find any of those Wisconsin state quarters with the extra leaf on the ear?
I have not, but I look at all my quarters.
Yeah, like I look at them now too.
Yeah. And it's, so the Wisconsin quarter, that's like, gosh, I think if you find one of those, it's like $100 quarter, you know, it's, I think the Minnesota one also has an error. The Minnesota coin has an extra tree. If you look at the back of
it doesn't have an extra lake.
No, it has an extra tree. But what it is, it's an error. It's like a problem with the die.
Yeah.
So it's actually just like that with the extra leaf is really a problem. Well, they don't know what it is, but it's not supposed to be there. It's not like it's not a leaf, right, on the corn husk. On the Wisconsin quarter, but because of just the defect, it looks like it. Well, there's also a defect on, I think it's the Minnesota one. It's got a lake with some pine trees in the background and there's like a little scuff and it, you know, if you're not paying attention, it looks like another tree, but it's really just like a little mess up. And I don't know that's worth as much as the, Wisconsin one, but there's a lot of numismatic, even with the new coins, there's a lot of little, like, you know, double dies and little weird glitchy things. I'm not that into that though, but I mean, I look at all my change now. Like anytime I get change, like I'm even hoarding the pennies. Like if I find a pre-1982 penny, I'll get a handful of change and I'll immediately look through the pennies and I'll look through all the change. And if I find like any of the pennies are copper, I put them in one pocket and then the rest of the change goes in the other pocket. And then later on, I sort it out and I keep all my copper pennies separate.
You're going to melt them down and sell them.
A copper penny is worth like 3 cents.
Yeah.
And at some point, if they ever get rid of, like if you hoard your penny, I mean, there are people who've made huge amounts of money hoarding pennies.
Yeah, like, but you have to hoard billions of pennies.
Well, people have done that. Like they've had warehouses where they go through this whole like process where they buy machines and then they go to banks and they get pennies. And I mean, and then they put them in these machines and it dumps out, you know, I guess it does it by weight. But it'll like dump out, it'll like flip the copper pennies into one bin and the other pennies and, you know, the zinc pennies in the other bin. And it just does this. And then, you know, there's a market for these pennies because, you know, at some point, basically you could triple your money if you think about it. Like, mm-hmm. I mean,
except that you have to have a crap ton of money up front to put this process in place. I can't just walk out there right now and buy, you know, get all the pennies and have the machinery ready to go.
No, you're right, but I mean that's a whole business thing, right? You have a business plan. You come up with like you get investors. I mean, I think that anyways, someone's already doing it. People are already doing that, but like there are people who do it on the side, like almost like a hobby. You know, they're kind of that's their like I've also been doing coin roll hunting, where you go and you look through. Like I'll buy every once in a while, I'll go to like when I'm at the bank or the store, I'll get like a roll of coins. I'll get a roll of quarters or I'll go to a bank and I'll walk in. I'll go, hey, you got any half dollars? And I'll go and I'll search through the half dollars. And I have not found a silver half dollar yet.
Pretty dorky.
Wow.
But it's like free silver, right? And now it's hard. I think it's been figured out. I mean, it's been figured out for a long time, but a lot of people have been doing that for years where you just go to the bank, you get $1,000, you go to the bank and you get two boxes of half dollars. It's like $1,000, you know, each box is $500. You go through it, you find maybe like $50 worth of silver, you box it up, and you take it back, you know, and you get whatever. It's like free. That's silver. Junk silver is 90%, you know, like those coins are 90% silver. Just like the copper coins are, you know, copper is worth something. It's worth three times as much. So one day they're going to get rid of the penny, right? Canada's already done it. There's no pennies in Canada.
I understand.
So you're not allowed to melt down pennies, right? But there's still a market, just like junk silver market. You can buy, like, because all the silver has been hoarded out of circulation. And that goes back to that whole, like, bad money, I forget the quote, but bad money creates scarcity of good money or something like that. Like the instant you start introducing like fiat currency, like money that has no backing, all the real money leaves the system because people hoard it.
Right.
Like that's why you can't find a pre-64. That's why it's very rare to find a pre-64 quarter, dime, or half dollar. Copper pennies are going to be like that. Because people are saying, well, it's a penny, but it, you know, it's worth 3 cents. Like I've just by holding it, it's worth, you know, I'm tripling my money. Like this 5 gallon bucket of pennies I have that I can't lift, is worth, you know, it's, you know, by the pound, however many pounds it is, it's worth way more than the pennies. So as soon as they get rid of the penny, then that's no longer currency. You could, you know, then it has a, I mean, everything has a melt value. You can sell it. You could sell your pennies right now, like copper pennies.
Okay.
As, you know, so.
Numismatics pop quiz. Some coins, some of our coins, the U.S. coins and other coins around the world, have bumpy edges, toothed edges, not smooth.
You want to know why?
Why?
Because in the old days, people used to shave off a little bit of silver off the coins. And so in order to prevent that, that's what they did that for, to stop people from like, so you'd know, like you got a full coin.
Well, how come some of them have and some of them don't? Like a nickel doesn't have it.
The big coins do.
Yeah. And a nickel is like pretty much worthless. No one's going to shave off some nickel, you know, or whatever. It's like tin and
right.
There were some
typically
silver nickels,
even historically. Mostly it was the bigger coins. Like the little farthings, you know, English farthings didn't have bumpy edges. Like, but, you know, shillings and pounds did. Because they were silver coins and they would actually shave. And then they'd use the coins just like that, and then they'd take the little shavings of silver and pile it all up until they could sell it off to somebody and get money off of it, and they end up it's the profit thing again.
Yeah.
So I knew that. I think Mike, you probably knew that as well. Or is that new? Oh, you got nerd burgered.
I did.
Okay. So that learning with James.
Yeah, did you know that nickels during World War II, they call them war nickels, they were 35% silver. Because I guess at certain periods of time during World War II, they needed silver, or I mean, they needed nickel more than they needed silver. Like there were some industrial processes so nickel became more valuable to the war effort. So there was like a little while where they used silver in the nickels. So they're like 35% silver. And that's another thing about like coins. And I'm just like kind of learning about U.S. coins. There's history, you know, all the designs and things that are going on the coins. And there
maybe are, Iron Maiden will write a song about it.
About coins.
Back in my day, Nichols had pictures of bumblebees on them. Give me 5 bees for a quarter, one would say.
What the hell is that?
That's Grandpa Simpson.
Oh, is it? I don't know. I guess we've
made that joke a bunch.
Yeah.
On the podcast.
The only Grandpa Simpson thing I know is let me in, I need my medicine. There are wolves after me. That's the one I always remember.
I'm tired and there are wolves. There are no wolves after you.
Let me in. There are wolves after me. Yeah. So maybe in the future we could. I guess I'm really lately been into the coin thing. And did you guys know? And I know they were probably like going really long here, but did you guys know that there are so many commemorative half dollars?
People can't stop finding reasons to create commemorative this or that.
Yeah,
but yes. I mean, there are a lot of commemorative half dollars. Okay,
Hang on. Yes, we are wildly over time, and I just got a text from Allison. She can't get the door open, so we have to go.
Okay. All right.
Where can they find us?
The cat is snoring really loud. Let me hold on. Hang on.
Okay.
She woke up.
Oh.
Anyway, where can they find us? Where can they find us, Mike? We got to roll.
So glad we did that.
You can edit that out.
NerdBurgerShow.com, at NerdBurgerShow on the Twitter, NerdBurgerShow on Facebook, and email us, NerdBurgerShow@gmail.com.
On the next episode of Nerd Burger, Mike gets his drug test back, and it's negative, and his dealer has a lot of explaining to do.
What?
Also, hey. Craig discovers that his father has the heart of a lion. And a lifetime ban from the zoo.
That's a
one-liner. Listen to it again in editing.
Bye. Thanks, James. Later.
Thank you.
Later.
I was addicted to the Hokey Pokey, but I turned myself around. I have a list of one-liners for today.